NPR is doing its annual survey to better understand how listeners like you spend time with podcasts. Please help us out by completing a short anonymous survey at npr.org/podcastsurvey, all one word. We would really appreciate your help to support NPR podcasts. That's npr.org/podcastsurvey, all one word. Thanks. Hello and welcome to Car Talk on National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Car Talk Center for the return of Father's Day gifts. That's if you got Father's Day gifts that you didn't want. Hey, did you get your 48 Buick convertible that you wanted for Father's Day?
Are you kidding?
Too bad, huh?
Someone out there must have a 48 Buick convertible that they want to donate.
Donate to whom?
To meme. Why not? I deserve it. I think my wife has discovered my secret of gift giving because she uses the same strategy now. You buy very, very elaborate, expensive things for the other person that you know he's going to return.
Oh, right. You say, oh, hon, I don't deserve this.
Yeah, right.
Oh, I see.
No, I always buy stuff like that doesn't fit her or it's wrong color.
Triple X large mink coat.
And then she goes back and they don't have her own size because I made sure when I bought it that they didn't have her own size.
Oh, you sly devil.
Aren't I, though?
You are a devious creature.
I am. Hey, you want to read some mail?
That was the furthest thing from my mind, but...
You may recall that a week or two or three or four ago, we had a call from someone who with the dead turkeys.
I don't recall anything. I'm going to the Ronald Reagan School of Memory Training.
By the way, the dead turkey. Remember the dead turkey?
Yes, trying to get the odor of the dead turkey out of the Dodge
Caravan. We have gotten 150 letters. We are stupid, you know? We don't know anything about...
Well, you know, I thought after we received it, just a recap for people that weren't listening.
Yeah.
There was a fellow who bought a bunch of groceries, among them a dead turkey.
No. He had a turkey, and he somehow forgot it.
This was not a feathered fowl. This was
turkey. It was a Thanksgiving turkey, which he somehow left in the back of his, I think it was a Dodge Caravan or something, right?
And it was in the auto body shop for a week, tucked away in a corner. Opened the door.
I said, oh, my God. Well, we have received several letters. I mean, the best of which says that every time someone asks you a question like this, you guys, your answers range from, gee, you need a good house cleaner, to why not mix together every household cleaner under the sink and produce deadly chloramine gas, and darned if I know. And he says, while it's true that if you kill the occupants of the car, smell is no longer a problem to them, there are actually some simple solutions which work. Woof. And here they are. I mean, I've got all kinds of simple...
A foul and fetid fowl?
Any kind of odor. What is your name here? Dave Kirby, Environmental Building Inspector. First, he says you have to get rid of the smell. We know that.
We know that. You get rid of the turkey.
Open the car windows about 2 inches. Circulate the air with a 16-inch rotary fan. Got it? 16-inch. So you're moving the air.
Was the fan in or out?
And inside. And place packets of zeolite in the seats and trunk of the car. Zeolite is a natural volcanic mineral. Ooh, this is awesome.
Is zeolite with an X or a Z?
Z. Let's not forget this. Zeolite.
Z-E-O-L-Y-T-E?
Z-E-O-L-I-T-E is a natural volcanic mineral comprised of negatively charged hydrated aluminosilicate, which you use words like this, man, and everyone knows you know what you're talking about, which attracts positively charged odors. Now, what if you have negatively charged odors? This is great. There are two solutions. If you don't want to use zeolite or if you can't find it in your local grocery store, you get yourself an ozone generating machine, and
yes,
you do the same thing.
Yes, I saw one of those at the home show, in fact.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
Be careful, because it's poisonous.
In the spirit of Ross Perot, I bought 2,000 of them, and I've transported them to the highest mountain peaks in the world, and I'm going to have them generating ozone to help replenish the ozone layer.
I think that would work, too.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Well, there you go. Now
zeolite,
we know the
huh?
answer. Zeolite. All we have to do now...
Available at fine hardware stores everywhere.
Everywhere.
Zeolite.
Not to mention, I mean, we've got all kinds of solutions. I think the smell problem has struck a chord here.
Anyway, if you'd like to call us about your smell or whatever, the number is 1-800-332-9287. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Janet from Colorado Springs.
Hi, Janet.
Janet,
how are you?
What's up?
Okay, well, I've got a 1991 white basic Miata with hot pink accents.
White? And wait a minute, white? With hot pink? Well, you can't get hot pink. That's not one of the standard...
No, it's only accents, like, you know...
Oh, yeah.
License plate holders, antennas.
Oh, you don't have one of those things with the lights that goes around the license plate holder, do you?
No.
Oh, I'm glad.
No, and my horn does not play La Cucaracha.
Okay.
Hey, now, wait a minute. Let me see if...
My brother's
let
does,
me
though.
See. I just happen to have here, and I unfortunately, I don't know who sent it to me, but I have here a little article which is reprinted from something, the North Coast Pontiac Chapter Newsletter, as a matter of fact, that says that the color of your car reveals your personality. So,
uh-oh.
Let me see if... Is this you? White, it says. You are extremely truthful and honest and expect others to be the same. You are self-disciplined and tidy, and you tend to always pay your bills on time.
Oh.
You are graceful under pressure and optimistic about the future. Isn't that sweet? Aren't
yeah,
you
is,
a nice...
is that you, Janet?
That's me, but basically it's because I was cheap.
Didn't say anything about cheap here.
Oh, okay.
No, that's okay.
It says you pay your bills on time. Okay, what's the problem with this great little Miata?
Well, about 2 months ago, when I started driving around 35 or above, a flacketing noise was coming from
flackety, 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 flackety
and they said it was a strip off the thing under the front of the car.
Yeah.
Lots of bolts in it, and it broke free, and that's what was causing the flacketing. But they used the technical term.
Flacketing, yes.
Yeah, that's my term.
That's because you drove into something with it.
Well, I don't remember doing that, and I'm usually quite awake when I drive, so...
Well, let's see. You are extremely truthful. Yeah, she didn't do it.
Truthful.
She didn't drive into anything. It says right here.
Okay.
So they cut it free, that little strip, and then I asked them what it was and if it was safe to drive with that hole in the thing at the bottom, and if it was dangerous or stupid.
It's like a little air dam or something under there. It's like a little air dam. It's supposed to deflect...
It's supposed to keep the flow of air laminar so that you get great gas mileage.
Oh, and, well,
and reduce wind.
And they didn't know.
And reduces wind noise.
Yeah,
and
so
it helps.
It's not to protect the under.
No, it obviously doesn't protect anything. You snapped it off without even knowing it.
It's plastic, so it really isn't protecting anything. It's just making the air that goes underneath the car, instead of getting all in a turmoil under there and causing stress to you and the car, and therefore poor gas mileage. It makes it flow under there nicely.
Yeah.
It does. I mean...
You know the old days that trains used to have? Of course, trains don't have these anymore, to the best of my knowledge. Cow catchers.
Oh, yeah.
Well, this wouldn't suffice as a cow. This might be a cat catcher.
Yeah.
Because considering it's...
I mean, overall, I would say it makes a difference of 0.0033% to your gas mileage.
Okay.
So, it in the grand scheme of things, it means diddly.
Well, it must be a particularly vulnerable piece. It must be so close to the ground.
The car is very low anyway, so it doesn't take much. If you drive over a little rock, you're going to wipe this thing out, which is good.
How many square inches was this piece that they removed?
Well, you know, the guy said it was about 12 inches long. It looked like 9 inches to me, but that's guys, you know?
I was going to say 10 myself, so 9, 12, it's about that.
Yeah.
Okay, and 12 inches long, and how wide?
About... 3 to 4 inches.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's nothing.
Unimportant.
Okay. It's unimportant, Janet.
Unimportant?
Unimportant.
Oh, I'm really glad.
Yeah.
It's a good thing that you are self-disciplined and tidy. See, she is, because she's worried about this little piece of plastic.
It's the flacketing.
The
flacketing is gone now.
Yeah.
Yes, that is.
That's
okay.
Right.
Other than that, are you delighted and thrilled with this car?
Oh, absolutely, except for the chitter-chitter on the right side of the car.
Well, that'll be another call. You'll have to call back.
Oh, you got a chitter-chitter.
That's because you're missing that piece.
Like this, chitter-chitter?
Yeah, it sounds sort of like that.
I have no idea what it is. Hey, good luck with the Miata, and don't worry about the flackety-flack, but don't take any flack from anybody. That's what my brother always says.
Thank you so much.
See you, Janet.
See you.
Bye-bye. 1-800-332-9222.
Wait a minute, what color is your car? You don't have a car.
Well, I do.
What color is it?
I'm
metallic gray or silver?
It's both of those.
You love luxury and aren't afraid to spend money to get it. You are a leader who demands respect. You set high standards for yourself and others, and you will soon buy your brother a 48 Buick.
Wait, let me see that. We'll be right back with the answer to the puzzler right after these messages. This message comes from NPR sponsor eBay Motors. If you're like most people, there's been a time where you had to stop working on your car because you didn't have the right parts. But eBay Motors thinks the only thing that should slow your car down is the brakes, or maybe friction, but not a lack of parts. That's why eBay Motors has all the right parts at the right prices. In fact, they have 122 million parts all at your disposal. That way, you can keep your project moving and your car not just running, but running in style. ebaymotors.com. Let's ride. This message comes from NPR sponsor Evercoat Body Shop. If you want to take the guesswork out of body work, Evercoat Body Shop has the right product for your project, whether you're a professional or a DIYer. Three easy steps, just prep, fill, and sand. The perfect mix guide makes it easy to get the right ratio of filler and cream hardener. It dries in about 15 minutes and sands up to 50% faster than the competition. Evercoat is the number one brand preferred by professionals. Available at Advance Auto Parts. You know, this is normally the time during the show when we give the answer to last week's puzzler.
Yeah, what is the answer?
Where have you been? As our regular listener
yeah.
knows, the puzzler is on summer vacation. We know that most of our listeners spend all week wrecking their brains. Oh, is that racking their brains?
One or the other.
Trying to solve our weekly puzzler, or our week puzzler. We give a puzzler very weekly, don't we?
It's very weak, yeah.
And because of that, they really get anything else done. I mean, gardens are overgrown with weeds, bills pile up unpaid, children grow up and leave home without even being noticed.
And that's all right during the winter, but during the summer, it's unconscionable that we should cause this amount of disarray in the world.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we thought, you know...
We should lay off.
Yeah, exactly. Right. It's humane to give people a little rest from the challenge of the puzzler and let them have a little time off to concentrate on some other things.
Like cut the grass?
Cleaning the garage, cutting the grass. And anyway, the puzzler will be back in the fall. In the meantime, if you have a puzzler that you think we can use, we'd like you to send it to us at the following address.
Yeah. What if someone actually had a puzzler that they thought in the fall we might want to use? What would they do?
Gee, that's an interesting notion. I hadn't really considered. You should send it to Puzzler Tower.
New Puzzler Division. New Good Puzzler Division. Potentially good New Puzzler Division.
Potential puzzle Division. Car Talk Plaza, 630 Commonwealth Avenue, Boston.
Our fair city.
Mass, 02215. And if we use your puzzler and you catch us, we'll send you a copy of the mediocre book, Car Talk.
In a plain brown wrapper.
Yes.
Don't forget that.
In the meantime, if you'd like to talk to us, the number is 1-800-332-9287. Or if you live in a foreign country like Canada, Mexico, or
Marin County,
use this number, 1-617-353-6350. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Scott. I'm from Ocala, Florida.
Ocala.
Ocala is a very beautiful part of Florida.
Yeah, it sure is.
My only contact with Ocala is that it always competes with Tampa as the
for what?
City in Florida in the New York Times crossword puzzle.
Oh, well.
Because they both end in A.
And they both
and
five
they
letters.
Both have five letters.
Well, that's about all they have in common.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm always at a loss to know which one it is because I never get any of the acrosses. I only do the downs.
Miami's another one. That's
Miami.
Miami. So anyway, Scott.
Yeah.
Why did you call us?
Well, what I've got is I've got a brand new 1992 Ford Ranger pickup with a 3-liter V6 engine in it, and I've had it about 6 weeks. It's a great vehicle. I've had no problems. It's really been enjoyable to have, but I'm getting ready to change the oil for the first time, and. Ford recommends that as far as oil, they say that I should use either a 5W30 or a 10W30 grade oil.
All right. You want to put in that sludge that you've put in all your other vehicles, that 80, 90 mud.
No, Scott wouldn't do that.
He wants to, I'll tell you what Scott wants to put in, 2050 Castrol.
Exactly. Very good. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because it's hot in Florida.
Yeah, and the road temperatures get extremely hot. And this truck has got to last me about 300,000 miles if I can.
Yeah,
300,000.
Damage the thing, and Ford's like saying, 530, 10W30, but I like you said, I want to run 20W50, and I guess what I want to know is this going to have any negative effects on this vehicle, and what would you recommend if not that?
What do you think, Thomas?
Here's what I think. I think whether or not it's going to have any deleterious effects on the vehicle is secondary.
But you think it might be harmful?
To a more important question, is it going to have any harmful effects on the warranty?
I didn't ask him about that. I guess I probably should.
That's the more important question. Because, yes, they recommend 5 or 10W-30. But do they unrecommend 2050? I personally don't like the idea. Because 30-weight oil, I don't think, is good enough for Ocala, Florida.
Well, I think you are both wrong.
Absolutely not! Scott and I could never both be wrong.
You both have your heads in the clouds. You are both wrong.
No. Go ahead. What's your opinion? Great wise one.
Well, I believe that the 5W30 or 10W30 they recommend is a good enough oil. It has sufficient lubricity to lubricate this thing for as many miles as you would like to drive it. And
you're
of the school, I know my brothers, if the bottle says take 2 every 4 hours,
you take four every 2 hours.
You figure if 2 are good, then 4 are better. And you are too, right, Scott?
Something like that.
Yeah, something like that. And I think it is intuitive to want to put in thicker oil because you believe it gives you better protection. Protection against what?
It's very simple.
Neutrino bombardment?
It's very, very simple.
You know, summers run pretty long down here.
You ain't kidding.
I mean, it's not uncommon for us to get well over 100 degrees in road.
That's right. I mean,
and how hot do you think your oil gets?
I know how hot
the incremental increase in the oil temperature is not that great.
No, I mean, why did anyone ever use 40 or 50 weight oil? Even before there were multi-viscosity oils.
Because oils of 25 or 30 years ago were not anywhere as good as oils of today. Modern oil, the SG-rated oil of today, is far and away better than that junk you used back in the old days. And that's why the manufacturer wants you to use a lighter oil, because you will get just as good lubrication, plus you will get the advantage of having a slipperier engine that will get better mileage.
That's the reason. Now you've hit it. That is the reason that they recommend 10W30, because it increases the mileage. And that allows them to when they say this is what we recommend, and therefore the vehicle gets more mileage, it allows them to print that mileage on the sticker. That's the mileage that gets tested by the EPA.
You think this is a plot.
This is a plot. Of course it's a plot. This is a strategy by Ford to make it look like the truck gets whatever it gets, and it doesn't. They don't care whether the thing lasts 300,000 miles or not, but Scott cares. And if what you said is true, then why would anyone bother making an SG 50-weight oil? It would be superfluous, wouldn't it? I rest my case.
You use any damn oil you want, Scott. I don't care what you put in there.
I'd buy a whole case. No, I would definitely ask the dealer if there is any way that the warranty will be somehow...
No, don't even mention it. They're not going to know what oil you put in there.
Well, if I use like a 10W30 now and like decide to change...
You can change. You can switch back and
forth.
You can
swap any
time. Makes no difference.
Okay.
All righty.
Great. Thanks a whole lot. Appreciate it.
Hey,
see ya.
Scott, that was an excellent question. Thank you.
Oh, well, thank you.
Bye-bye.
See ya.
1-800-332-9287. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello.
Hi, who's this?
This is Kathy.
Hi, Kathy.
Kathy is this?
The Kathy from Mayopac, New York.
Who?
Mayhopac.
Mayhopac. Must be on Long Island.
It's Indian. No, it's Putnam County. We're in the Hudson Valley.
Hudson Valley. I get it.
I could have guessed that.
Oh, of course. I should have
known
that.
But I didn't.
Near Katona.
North of there, yep.
No, see?
Boy, my brother, he knows his...
I know my geography?
He knows his geology, all right, doesn't he?
So what can we... Is it anywhere near Pleasantville?
North of there.
See that, man? Yeah, so you know what's famous in Pleasantville?
No, I
Kathy knows.
Of course.
Everyone should know. My brother will know one of these days. Don't tell him.
Okay.
What's up, Kathy?
I have a red, in case that matters.
Of course.
In case. Come on. Of course it matters.
83 Toyota Tercel four-wheel drive wagon. And my problem is that it won't consistently start.
Oh, you turn the key and nothing happens?
It goes click sometimes. Other times I turn it goes clack. And eventually it starts. So I've never been stranded with it. And I have taken it to our friends who are mechanics, and they couldn't figure out what was wrong, and so they put in a little bypass button.
And that doesn't help either.
And that worked for a while, but not consistently. So we have a lot of different theories.
When it doesn't start, you have to click, you have to turn the key many times, and sooner or later it does start?
Right. Or push the button many times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I think the button only worked...
It was luck.
Because it was luck.
Yeah. When they put in the button, what they did was they bypassed the ignition switch.
Right.
Basically.
And so you use the button instead of the key. In other words, you would turn the key to the on position, and then you'd press the button.
Right.
And it would start until it...
Sometimes.
Right.
Until it stopped starting. But the same thing would have happened. They didn't find the source of the problem.
Right. They were assuming that the ignition switch was the culprit, mm-hmm. and the fact that the button doesn't work proves that that wasn't the culprit, and I could have told you that.
I didn't call soon enough.
Well, the clue was not the ignition switch is the fact that you heard a click. And when you hear a click, what the click is the solenoid, which is doing something, which it couldn't do if the ignition switch weren't working. So they made a mistake. That's all right.
And the reason they made it is they're not very well versed in Tercel-dom.
Yeah.
Because this is a very, actually not just for Tercels, but Corollas that have the same starter have the same problem. And these starters are gear reduction starters, and I don't know if it's a problem that's characteristic of gear reduction starters or not, but we see it a lot in Toyotas, that they don't work, especially when they get older. So that you have to try the key repeatedly until finally you give up doing this for fear that you're going to break the key off inside the ignition, and you need to replace the starter motor itself.
I've replaced an igniter and a coil and a distributor and an alternator.
That's good.
Do any of those things have anything
Well, they count. They certainly do give you,
you
points.
You do get points.
You do have 3.5 stars.
But it's not going to make it start. No, nothing's going to make it start except a new starter.
And you didn't replace all of those things in an attempt to solve this problem.
No.
No,
these were previous Tercel-dom problems.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And now you need to replace the starter.
Mm-hmm.
So take it back to these guys, and they'll benefit from your return visit because you're going to tell them what the problem is. So the next time they see a Toyota that has a gear reduction starter and has the same no crank condition,
mm-hmm.
they'll know that it's the starter motor for that one too.
Great.
Then you might want to ask your buddies to get rid of that bypass switch because you don't need it anymore.
Okay.
Because then you can, once it starts, you'll be able to sit around reading Reader's Digest all day.
See you, Kathy.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thanks for your call.
That's
Bye-bye.
What's in
Bye-bye.
Pleasantville, New York. Headquarters of Reader's Digest.
No kidding.
Sure.
Is that what you said? He'll know in a minute?
He'll know in a minute. You're
going to wait a minute to talk?
I didn't want to leave you. I knew you were dying to know.
No, I've forgotten all about it, frankly.
Don't move, because more calls and the new puzzler are coming right up. NPR is doing its annual survey to better understand how listeners like you spend time with podcasts. Please help us out by completing a short anonymous survey at npr.org/podcast survey, all one word. We would really appreciate your help to support NPR podcasts. That's npr.org/podcast survey, all one word. Thanks.
We're back. You're listening to Car Talk on National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tablet Brothers, and we're here to answer your questions about cars and car repair and advanced techniques for spilling coffee in your pants. I know what you're laughing about. I asked my brother. He has this slip of paper here which lists a bunch of different car colors.
Car color reveals personality.
Right. That sounds like a reprint from the National Enquirer.
Or worse. Well, here it is.
The Globe.
I was just curious as we were sitting here.
I said, what is your color anyway?
Well, I don't really know what color it is, but I would think that the closest thing...
Well, the majority of the car is what color?
I think people would call it green.
I think so, yes.
Now, get this.
Aquamarine, maybe.
Are you ready for this? Green. Creativity and imagination are the hallmarks of your personality. Now, get the next part. You are fashion conscious. But not a compulsive fashion follower. Very open-minded, you take a broad view of things and make a good listener. Jeez, isn't that good? Now, the curious thing is that there was a typo here. Now, this is the absolute truth. What they meant to say was creativity and imagination are the hallmarks of your personality. The typo, however, see what it says?
Oh, the fall marks.
The fall marks. I wonder if there's some importance to that.
There may be. It may not be a typo. Hey, you know, this is normally the time during the program where we introduce the new puzzler, but we've given the puzzler a break.
It's about time. We need a break, too.
We're going to get one. And the puzzler, of course, is on summer vacation. And
I broke your nose when you were a little kid. Do you know that?
I remember.
Do you remember that?
I remember. I cried for a week.
Is that why you look the way you do?
It is our hope that we'll come. What made you remember that?
I don't know. You use the word break.
Oh, and every time you hear the word break,
I'm breaking my nose? No, it just came up, just popped into my head.
I will recount that little incident to our listeners in a moment, but let me just finish this.
Yeah, go ahead.
And it is our hope that it will come back.
That was what we call a timely interruption. You promised.
Let me see. Let me look at our notes here. It will return, hopefully refreshed, renewed, and less lousy than it's been for the last few months. Anyway, if you have a good puzzler that you think we might be able to use when the puzzler gets back, send it to us at Puzzler Tower, Good Puzzler Division, Car Talk Plaza, 630 Commonwealth Avenue, Boston.
Our fair city.
Mass, 02215.
Ma, not Mass.
Oh, Ma.
Ma. M-A.
Ma.
Ma. Massachusetts.
Maryland
you
votes
could
savant
say...
need not reply.
Right.
Hey. I did want to take a call, but before I did that, you reminded me of...
You want to talk about your nose?
Yeah.
So let's talk about that.
I was but a lad of maybe 10.
Yeah.
And I had a new baseball glove. And I said to my brother Tommy, my older, wiser...
I was only 11 at the time.
No, you
or
were
Or was
not,
I 9?
No, you were 30.
I was 30, yeah.
I said, how old were you? You were considerably older and...
Smarter.
You would think smarter and wiser and protective of his
cute little cute brother.
Cute little
what
brother.
What happened to you?
It happens. It's like dogs when they start getting those... jowls and the drooling. You know, it happens.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I asked my brother, I said, Tommy, can we play catch in the backyard? So we go into the
backyard. No, what's in the backyard?
Yes, it was.
It was the driveway.
No, we started in the driveway and worked our way,
into the backyard. Yeah.
And for whatever reason, I was catching. I was in the crouch position.
Yeah. Squatting.
Squatting, I believe it might say.
Speaking of dogs.
And the balls, he was winding up and throwing. And I was getting scared because they were coming faster and faster
I get carried away.
You did get carried away. And I think you didn't notice the tears going running down my cheeks.
I thought you were just having a good time.
And finally, it happened. He threw one of those pitches, which wasn't quite 60 feet. It was about 57 feet, and it struck the ground and found its way to my nose as I was turning my head
to avoid
it. Mm. And it struck my nose.
Yeah.
And it...
Is this why you won't buy me a 48 Buick?
Right. Right. You can die waiting for that. You broke my nose, you bum. I hate you. You made me a monster.
I'm glad you got that out of your system.
1-800-332-9287.
You cried, too. I remember. You were always
You cried when I crushed your ambassador, too, so we're even. 1-800-332-9287. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Allison.
Hi, Allison.
Hi, Allison. Is that with one L or two?
Two.
One S or two?
One.
One Y or two?
None.
Where are you from, Allison?
I'm from Virginia.
Oh, okay.
And what can we do for you?
Well, I have a Subaru Justy, and I... have three children and a husband, and we only have four seat belts, so we need to add another seat belt.
No. No.
No.
No. Save your money from the seat belt, and you need to add another car.
Well, we can't afford another car.
Well, you have to.
Not another one. You need a different one. You need to sell this one. I mean, this has some...
Why don't you get yourself like a nice St. Bernard and a hair shirt? I mean, how much more suffering does one person deserve here? My God, you're going to squeeze four people in a Justy?
Yeah, we're going to try.
Well, I mean, no, you don't want to try that. I mean, how old is this Justy?
It's an 89.
89, and it has, what, 90,000 miles on it?
Oh, about 40.
About 40, so it must be worth about $500 to $600. I don't know what it's worth, but you can easily find out what it's worth, obviously.
Gee, Allison,
it isn't worth a lot because you didn't pay a lot for it.
No, we didn't.
But you could sell it. Before I let my brother do his litany of interruptions. You can sell it and buy a car, maybe like a Ford station wagon.
Ooh.
Or a used Dodge Caravan. I mean, so you might be able to swap for no money. You could sell this one and take the money and buy something that's more suited or better suited to your needs.
Well, we like this car.
You can't
like
it.
We would like to add a seatbelt. We just wanted to know if it was safe.
Allison, I know this is not the answer you want to hear, but I have to say it, and then you can do whatever you want, which is what you're going to do anyway. But the car was never safe. And when you cram more people into it, it becomes less safe, especially because people are at the ends of things. You know, they're gonna, if you cram in people in the back, mm-hmm. they're going to be closer to the back door. There is no back door. This is a two-door?
Right.
The porch.
It's going to be back to the porch, right? I mean, they're going to be closer. So if someone hits you from the side, I mean, you got no place to go, you know?
Yeah.
So it really isn't very safe. But maybe you don't care about safe. I mean, maybe you're a devil may care.
No.
Well, I mean, you can add an extra seatbelt, but not easily.
Okay.
And I would hasten to add that the children, how many children do you have?
Three.
They're going to get...
Kids and a husband.
They're going to get bigger.
Yeah.
So it's only going
to
be.
We need this to last for about a year.
They get big fast, unless you withhold food. if you're prepared to do that.
Gee whiz! I mean, I really feel uncomfortable about this.
Yeah.
No pun intended.
It's I have it all figured out. It's obvious that you have everything planned. What's your next car going to be? You know that already, don't you?
Oh, probably some sort of minivan.
Yeah, and you're waiting. Why do you want to wait a year?
Saving
Why deny yourself?
Saving
well, my
up.
Husband's in school still.
Oh, yeah, but pretty soon he's going to have his PhD, and you're going to be rolling in dough.
Yeah, like I am.
All right. You make this last 2 years.
I mean, I know you want it to last a year. I mean, it's so unsafe anyway. Why even bother putting a seatbelt in? Just fill up the back with balloons or something and drive around.
What's he doing in school?
He's getting
a
PhD.
Yeah, what's he studying?
Marketing.
And he's getting a PhD?
Yes.
Well, he's going to be unemployed next year anyway. So it'll make no difference. I'd make the move right now. Whatever you need to drive, I'd get it right now because the picture may be bleaker next year.
Yeah, you really should not deny yourself because it's safety that's involved here. The Justy, first of all, is a very unsafe little vehicle to begin with.
And we thought it was safe.
How can it be safe? You might as well be walking on the freeway, right? I mean, there's nothing around you. The thing weighs about 1,400 pounds. It can't possibly be safe.
I have to look up. Wait a minute. I have a book here. This is the only book that I own. I'm looking for what's called the curb weight.
I'm telling you, it's 1,565 pounds.
No, it is 1,850 pounds to 2,100 pounds.
Big deal. Mm. A big horse weighs 1,800 pounds. I mean, would you go out on a highway doing 60 miles an hour riding a horse?
If I was in it, I would.
You know? A Trojan horse?
Well, anyway, you do what you think is best. But you can certainly have a seatbelt put into this car if you would like. Except that you're not going to find anyone to do it.
Yeah.
Well, we found a guy who said he would just put it on the existing bolts for the other two seatbelts. And the dealer said that it was not safe, that was illegal for him to do.
That's right.
He couldn't add a seatbelt.
Well, the reason it's not safe is that if you're asking each one of those bolts that's already there to share 50% more load in the event of an accident, there's a chance that they're going to not work.
Well, the only thing that might make it okay, however, is the fact that it's going to be kids who are belted in and not your 200-pound husband.
Right.
But it's a lousy thing to do.
Right.
I under no circumstances can I give you any encouragement that you ought to do this. You got to sell this piece of junk and get anything that's bigger.
Okay.
Trust me on this.
Yeah, really. Really, don't.
Well,
I have
I'm only convinced your. It's my husband that's not convinced.
Oh, he's the cheapskate, huh?
Yes.
Well, tell you can't trust anyone who has a PhD in marketing. They're all a little bit on the flaco side. Trust me on this too.
Yeah, trust me. I know of what I speak. But don't resist the temptation to do this. Don't let this guy do it. It's first of all, it is illegal. That's why the dealer won't do it. And there's a liability involved, which this guy doesn't care about. He's probably gonna pull
up stakes.
He's
gonna be out of business anyway.
He's moving to New Mexico next week.
Yeah.
But don't do it. You'll put yourselves and your kids at risk, and you'd feel awful if something happened.
Sorry to beat up on you like this, Allison, but this is a bad idea.
Right. Have your husband call us next week. We'll straighten him out.
Okay, I will.
Thanks for your call.
All right,
if he needs any help writing his dissertation, I got one he can use.
Oh, okay, great. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, another hour.
If you were selling a dissertation, how much would it be worth? Well, 50, 60 grand, huh? I could retire.
Well, it took you 5 years to do yours. You figured 12. Well, anyway.
Yeah. Anyway,
another
what?
Valuable hour of your time has been wasted listening to Car Talk. Our producer and West Coast talent scout is the somewhat estimable Doug Berman. Our assistant producer and dean of the Department of Auto Musicology is Ken Babyface Rogers. Our engineer is Jennifer Loeb.
Jennifer Conifer Gonifer.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't see
is
all those.
Is it Conifer Gonifer or Gonifer Conifer?
I never really knew that. We'll have to ask, I guess, huh? Our technical advisor is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research. Our automotive medical researcher is Dr. Denton Fender. Our staff grammarian, acting philologist, is I Am Shirley Wright. Our director of long-range strategic planning is Kay Sarah, who's married to Frank Sarah, and I think now we call her what?
Kay Sarah Sarah.
I knew that was coming. Our staff disciplinarian is Les Stern. Our staff transportation coordinator is Rick Shaw. Staff composer, Bela Kartok. The conductor of the Tappet Brothers Symphony Orchestra is Sludgy Ozawa. The manager of the Tappet Brothers Capital Depreciation Fund is Les Ismore. The chairman of the Kartok Physics Department is Victor Analysis. And last but certainly least, our chief legal counsel is Hugh Lewis Dewey from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe, known to the disciplinary committee of the bar as Huey Louie Dewey. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
Thanks for listening. Bye-bye. This is NPR, National Public Radio.